This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hi everyone, Jay Cooper here with the Sports Report for Monday, February 12, 2024, reading from the pages of the USA Today Sports section. We have a little Super Bowl recap coming your way and also some other news, such as in college basketball, we have a record about to be broken. We'll give you a preview of that. And in NFL football, is Jim Harbaugh an LA guy? He has the star power, but he needs a title. And Tyler Dragon is going to tell us about that. We also have, as I jump through the sections here, there's a special Super Bowl section. Not going to dwell too much on that, but there is a couple of side stories we're going to get to regarding the Super Bowl. But first, let's dig into the Super Bowl quick recap. So let's turn to, they got a special section here just for that sports extra back-to-back titles for the Kansas City Chiefs, as Mahomes rallied, of course, to win the game in overtime. And we're going to talk about the 49ers' overtime decision and how that will probably be debated. This is from Noah Trister, Dateline Las Vegas, of course. It used to be one of the easiest decisions in football. If you win the toss in overtime, you take the ball. The rules are different now, however, and that choice by San Francisco in the Super Bowl will be debated all offseason. The 49ers took the ball and drove for a field goal, then lost 25-22, and Patrick Mahomes guided Kansas City 75 yards the other way for the winning touchdown Sunday night. San Francisco's drive ended when the 49ers kicked a field goal on the 4th and 4 from the 9. If they'd known 3 points wouldn't be good enough, they could have gone for a touchdown in that spot. That's something we talked about, San Francisco coach Kyle Shanahan said. None of us have a ton of experience. For many years, overtime ended as soon as one team scored. Then the rule was altered so both teams could possess the ball unless the first team on offense scored a touchdown. In that case, the game would end on that touchdown. And that's what happened when New England beat Atlanta 34-28. In Super Bowl 51. An even more recent rule change mandated that in the postseason, both teams can possess the ball even if the first offensive team scores a touchdown. Now NFL playoff overtime even more closely resembles the college OT format, where alternate possessions exist for the teams. And in college, teams often like to have the ball second because they'll have a better sense of what they need on their drive. This time, Kansas City had that advantage, which meant the Chiefs had no choice but to go for it on 4th and 1 from their own 34, down 3. They converted and eventually reached the end zone on a 3-yard touchdown pass from Mahomes to Mecole Hardman. There's two ways. You kick it off or you receive it, Kansas City coach Andy Reid said. I'm not sure there's a right answer necessarily. Ours ended up being the right one. That's what we felt was the right thing to do. Reid's comments suggest there's no obvious consensus among coaches about what to do. But if the Chiefs had won the toss, they were prepared to kick off and play defense first. We talked for 2 weeks about new overtime rules, defensive tackle Chris Jones said. Give the ball to the opponent. If we score, we go for two. One defense of San Francisco's decision to take the ball involves what happens if the game is still tied after both teams have had a possession. Then the game does become sudden death, so there's a clear potential edge in having the ball third. If the game was still tied after the first two possessions, the 49ers could have gotten the ball and any score would have won it. But overtime never made it that far. We went through all the analytics and talked to those guys, Shanahan said. We wanted the ball third. If both teams matched and scored, we wanted to be the ones with a chance to go win. Overtime can reach a third possession if each team kicks a field goal. We got that field goal, so we knew we had to hold them to at least a field goal, Shanahan said. And if we did, we thought the game was in our hands after that. If each team scores a touchdown, then as Jones said, the second team could simply go for a two-point conversion to prevent its opponent from getting the ball again. It turned out Kansas City didn't have to worry about any conversion because once the 49ers settled for a short field goal, the touchdown by the Chiefs won the game. And Jones was a big reason it worked out that way. He came through unblocked by San Francisco's last offensive play, forcing an incompletion that set up the short field goal by Jake Moody. Tons of pictures. Usher throws the party we all wanted. Probably not sports news, so we'll skip that story. But it was quite the performance by Usher. And one other story about the Super Bowl will be Kelce brings home hardware for Swift. We gotta inject a little entertainment news. Travis Kelce brought home the hardware he promised to girlfriend Taylor Swift. The Kansas City tight end finished with 9 receptions for 93 yards, including a crucial catch in overtime to help the Chiefs win their second straight Super Bowl with a 25-22 victory over the 49ers. One play after Kelce's reception put the Chiefs on the 3-yard line. Patrick Mahomes found Mecole Hardman alone in the end zone for the winning TD, in the process helping Kelce keep his promise while sending Swift and everyone in her suite into a celebratory frenzy. Never a doubt in my mind, Kelce said. We've got the best quarterback in the league, we've got the best offensive line in the league, and we've got the most determination out of any team in the NFL, and you saw all that tonight. I guess at this point I take it for granted. But I know we're in every single game I've ever played in, no matter what the score is or no matter how much time is left, that guy's got magic in his right arm. One night after Swift earned her 4th career Grammy for Album of the Year last week, Kelce said he told her he'd, quote, have to hold up my end of the bargain and bring home some hardware too. Swift flew halfway around the world to watch her boyfriend, who also said during Super Bowl week's opening night on Monday, quote, I want this one more than I ever wanted a Super Bowl before in my life. After the game, Kelce said, it's on to the next feat. I'm going to go ahead and enjoy this and everything that just happened, he said. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that I've been able to go through 3 times now. It gets sweeter and sweeter every time. You know, the goal has always been to get 3, but we couldn't get here without getting that 2 and having that target on our back all year. Kelce's vibe at the end of the game was an emphatic change after he bumped Andy Reid on the sideline during the second quarter, knocking the 65-year-old Kansas City coach a few steps back after teammate Isaiah Pacheco fumbled inside the red zone. Kelce ran over to Reid and screamed at him after the fumble. You guys saw that, Kelce said. I'm going to keep it between us unless my mic'd up tells the world. I was just telling him how much I loved him. Reid said Kelce just wanted to be on the field. There's nobody I get better than I get him, Reid said. He's a competitive kid. He loves to play. He makes me feel young. But my balance is terrible. This was the second sideline incident involving Kelce and Reid this season. During a game against the Raiders on Christmas Day, an angry Kelce spiked his helmet on the sideline, and when a staff member tried to hand it back to the tight end so that he could retake the field, Reid grabbed the helmet and refused to give it back. So, again, there's a ton of stories surrounding the Super Bowl, but we're going to move on and move it back to the main sports section and talk about things like Clark with an 8 of record. We're talking NCAA women's college basketball, as the Iowa Star now is 8 points shy of becoming the all-time leader in women's college basketball. All eyes on Caitlin Clark as she chases the scoring record. This is by Dargan Southard. Dateline Lincoln, Nebraska, for all the pregame chatter centered on whether Caitlin Clark would make Pinnacle Bank Arena the record-setting venue, the number 2 Iowa women's basketball team first had to shake free from its neighborly rivals to the west. An upset Sunday would sting more than others. The Hawkeyes seem to bury Nebraska with a robust third quarter, only to see Cornhuskers come charging back with ample late juice. Iowa didn't get the cruise control scenario it wanted late that would allow more flexibility for Clark to break the NCAA women's basketball scoring record at home Thursday night. Tension lurked in Lincoln for several reasons. Iowa will get its Carver Hawkeye Arena party, but it came at a significant cost. Nebraska erased a 14-point fourth-quarter lead to complete an 82-79 stunner. The second time this season, Iowa, 22-3, 11-2, Big Ten, has stumbled when owning a double-digit cushion. Clark finished with 31 points, but nothing in the fourth quarter, as the Hawkeyes mustered 10 points in the closing 10 minutes. Clark needs 8 points Thursday against Michigan to break Kelsey Plum's career record of 3,527. "We just got stagnant," Iowa coach Lisa Bluter said. "That's my fault." Whether or not Clark and the Hawkeyes had the scoring record on their minds entering the fourth will linger in ambiguity. Unsurprisingly, Bluter and Clark emphasized it wasn't a distraction postgame, but Iowa hardly looked like its dominant self down the stretch. Iowa connected just 4 times in the fourth on 2 Kate Martin trays that seemed to stabilize things and a pair of Hannah Stolke buckets that bookended the Hawkeyes' late scoring. Clark's 0-for-6 showing in the fourth signaled her second-worst shooting performance in any quarter of her career. That's according to ESPN stats and info. Her deep tray that clanked off with 23 seconds left, and Iowa down 1 punctuated a tough afternoon. Is Jim Harbaugh an L.A. guy? Back to the NFL. Dateline Inglewood, California. He has star power, but he needs a title. And Tyler Dragon writes this column. Is Jim Harbaugh an L.A. guy? I think so, and I aspire to be, Harbaugh said during his introductory news conference. The 60-year-old Midwesterner is on the right track, drawing inspiration from Hollywood shows and movies to illustrate how he'll tackle his new job as the L.A. Chargers head coach. To describe his feelings about the role, Harbaugh used an iconic A-lister in his analogy. If I could describe to you, it would be like Morgan Freeman in The Shawshank Redemption, Harbaugh said. I'm so excited I can't sit still or hold a thought in my head. What a free man would feel before a long journey. I just want to make it across the border and shake my friend's hand. That's how I feel. Harbaugh referenced when Freeman's character Red was released from prison in the film. It's particularly interesting because Harbaugh decided to leave Michigan amid an ongoing NCAA investigation for alleged recruiting violations during the COVID-19 dead period. He also had 2 separate 3-game suspensions during the 2023 season for recruiting infractions and his involvement in a sign-stealing scandal. Whether he meant it or not, Harbaugh's analogy felt like a subtle parting jab at the NCAA. Harbaugh then revealed the drama series Rockford Files was his favorite show growing up, a detective fiction series that aired in the 70s that appropriately took place in Southern California. Rockford Files still remains at the top of his TV viewing list, but it's now tied with the sports comedy drama Ted Lasso. There's some things I've copied from Ted Lasso. I try to emulate him in a lot of ways. That TV show, that is one of the best, Harbaugh said. I think that there's a life lesson in every one of those episodes. Jason Sudeikis' Ted Lasso character once said, "The harder you work, the luckier you get." As a coach, Harbaugh guided Stanford from college football purgatory to a then Pac-10 power. He led the San Francisco 49ers to a 44-19-1 record during four regular seasons and made one Super Bowl appearance. Then he turned Michigan's football program around and helped the Wolverines win the 2023 National Championship last month. His resume is pretty incredible, to win wherever you've gone and be successful. He's well-respected everywhere at every level, Chargers owner Dean Spanos said. That says a lot. Spanos was part of a Chargers contingent that interviewed 15 head coaching candidates after the club fired coach Brandon Staley and GM Tom Telesco in December following a blowout 63-21 loss to the Las Vegas Raiders. Staley finished 24-24 in regular season games and had no playoff wins. Harbaugh and recently hired GM Joe Hortiz are tasked with creating a winning culture for an organization that's never won a Super Bowl and hasn't claimed an AFC West title since 2009. We believe this is a very important step to getting there with the hiring of this coach and this GM, Chargers president of football operations John Spanos said. Harbaugh isn't a novice when it comes to Hollywood movies and TV shows, but it is his football acumen that made him the Chargers head coach. He's created a winner at all of his stops, and those expectations are coming with him as he returns to the NFL. LA is a championship and star-driven city. It is a saturated market. The best way to gain traction and garner attention is to win. The Lakers have LeBron James and 17 total NBA championships. The Dodgers recently acquired Shohei Ohtani and have 7 World Series titles. The Kings have 2 Stanley Cups, and Aaron Donald and the Rams hoisted the Lombardi Trophy at the conclusion of the 2021 season. So is Harbaugh an LA guy? We'll see. And again, that's Tyler Dragon, who wrote that article. And Andy Reid reveals his authentic self in ads. I guess one more Super Bowl-related story. Nancy Armour writes this. There was a time, even in early Patrick Mahomes land, when the first thing that came to mind with Andy Reid was his blunderous decisions at the end of games. Poor clock management. The ill-advised timeouts. The timeouts he ill-advisedly didn't take. When you think of Reid now, however, it's a good bet. One of the first things that comes to mind is noogies. And I dare you not to smile as you think of the Kansas City Chiefs coach trying to steal his star quarterback's food. Reid has always been respected in the NFL, deeply so. He has the most wins of any active NFL coach and took 2 teams, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Chiefs, to the Super Bowl. He has won 2 Super Bowls since 2020 and hoped to make it a 3rd Sunday. But his commercials with Mahomes are so entertaining and so endearing, they've transformed Reid's persona among casual fans from one prompting expletives and angst into that of the NFL's favorite teddy bear. He's got a look and a way about him that I think is endearing to fans, said David Schwab, an executive vice president at Octagon who was specialized and celebrity and brand deals for 20 years. The hardcore Chiefs fan, they're going to care more about wins and losses, but that's not marketing. Marketing is, what does the common man or woman think about you? Does the creative theme of an ad appeal to me and how I think? And I think he works for that. To be clear, Reed isn't acting in the ads. The guy you see is the same guy his players have known and loved for years. He doesn't take himself seriously, favoring Hawaiian shirts for team gear over suits and talking enthusiastically about food anytime given the chance. He doesn't flaunt his intelligence, football or otherwise, and shows little of the suspicion or ego that can plague coaches when they reach his level of success. Not naming names or anything. I didn't realize he was such a man of few words. He says so little, yet says so much. His team meetings crack me up, literally. 30 seconds, a minute, and we're off and running. Linebacker Drew Tranquil, who came to the Chiefs this season after spending the last four with the AFC West rival LA Chargers, told USA Today Sports. He's a very routine man, a man who's found a way to get things done in this league, and he's stuck to it, Tranquil added. He's a man of principle. I've really enjoyed playing for him. Reed also has a wry sense of humor and perfect comedic timing. After Taylor Swift made her first appearance at a Chiefs game, and Reed was asked what he knew about her relationship with tight end Travis Kelce, Reed said he'd met the pop superstar before. He then paused before delivering the punchline. "I set him up," he said with a grin. "I'll leave you with that." And with that, he left the podium. Fans and consumers can really see through the inauthentic personas, said Angeline Close-Scheinbaum, an associate professor of marketing at Clemson and co-author of Advertising and Integrated Brand Promotion. Especially with public figures like this, she added, it's just refreshing to see a human brand, to see these people we usually see in a very serious context be in a more lighthearted one. The best part is Reed came by his career as a pitchman organically. He didn't do it for money or fame. He did it as a favor to his quarterback. Mahomes was already doing ads for State Farm, one of his sponsors, and the quarterback was asked if he thought Reed would be willing to join him. "I was like, man, I'll ask him, but I just don't know if he'll do it," Mahomes recalled during an October 22 interview with KCSP, a Kansas City radio station. "When I asked him, he asked me about it. He's like, do you want me to? And I was like, yeah. I think it'd be cool for people to be able to see your personality on a different level, on a different scale," Mahomes said. The first ad, in which Reed reveals he likes to draw mustaches on his players' faces while they sleep, has led to several more with Mahomes for State Farm. Reed also appeared on his own in a reboot of the 1996 Snickers ad in which the person painting the end zone misspells Chiefs. His persona is good and different from others, Schwab said. I think that's what has allowed it to work. Schwab said he doesn't know that Reed's commercial success will open doors for other coaches because there are already opportunities there. College coaches Deion Sanders and Don Staley are in ads for Aflac, while John Gruden, Mike Ditka, and even Tom Landry did commercials in their day. What it could do, Schwab said, is give creative directors the freedom to write against the script, showcasing a coach's humor and personality rather than pigeonholing him into the gruff, tough stereotype of an NFL coach. Not that Reed cares about any of that. Nor does he care about his increased visibility or the fact it's made people think of him in a warmer, fuzzier light. "I don't want to stand up here and sound like a movie star. I'm not very good at that," he said last week, "but I appreciate people enjoying nuggies." Yeah, he does have his sense of humor does come across, I think, in the ads that I've seen. And in other sports news, Tiger back for signature Genesis. This is by Riley Hamill. For the first time since the 2023 Masters, Tiger Woods will play an official PGA Tour event. Woods, who last played at the PNC Championship with his son Charlie in December, is in the field for this week's Genesis Invitational at Riviera Country Club in Pacific Palisades, California, the PGA Tour's third signature event of the year. The 15-time major winner played at Riviera last season, making the cut and eventually tying for 45th. Thanks to its elevated status, the field is absolutely loaded. World number one Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Victor Hovland, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay, Max Homa will all join the GOAT in LA. And unlike other signature events, the Genesis will have a 36-hole cut, top 50 in ties, players within 10 shots of the lead. Total purse is $20 million, with $4 million slated to go to the winner. Riviera is a par 71 track measuring 7,300 yards. Reigning champion John Rahm is unable to pursue back-to-back titles because of his move to LIV Golf. The field will be finalized after the conclusion of the WM Phoenix Open, which concluded yesterday, but nothing in on that yet. And then finally, Johnson wins LIV Vegas title by one shot, and it's against my belief in the PGA Tour that I read the story. But LIV is catching some momentum, so I got to bring you a even-handed look at golf news. LIV Golf made a bold decision to host an event in Las Vegas the same week as the Super Bowl. While the Golf League's second start of 2024 was largely overshadowed by the NFL game, Saturday's final round at Las Vegas Country Club was a tasty Super Bowl appetizer for sports fans with a knack for the chaotic. Six players were tied for the lead at 10-under, with three holes to play, but in the end it was Dustin Johnson who emerged victorious. The 39-year-old won LIV Golf Las Vegas at 12-under par following a 1-under 69 in the final round. The win is Johnson's third since joining LIV and is his third in 3 years with the league. He first came at the LIV Golf Invitational Boston in 2022 and his last came at the LIV Golf Tulsa in 2023. Folks, that's all we have time for. This half hour is up. I hope to talk to you next week for USA Today Sports. Jay Cooper signing off.